Everyone has an opinion, but he's got the Von Hessler Doctrine. Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
Live from Playoff Fan Central, the Georgia World Congress Center, Hour 1 of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins now. I am the aforementioned Eric Von Hessler. We have our normal doctrinaires. We have a guest doctrinaire, and one of our doctrinaires is not here. So let me get you right off. Man of a thousand voices, Tim Andrews, is here.
Go Dogs!
For our second day, Friday, now Monday, our guest doctrinaire, Dave Baker, is
Go
here
dogs.
With us.
How many do I have to do in a row to be a doctrinaire?
You would have to do 17 in a row. So you got a ways to go, but we liked you on Friday. Let's see how your behavior is today. And the handsomest producer, get your finger out of your nose, Dave Baker, the handsomest producer in all of producery, Jared Yamamoto, is with us this morning.
And I've got that Monday motivation, man. National Championship Day.
Monday motivation. Well,
hashtag, you forgot that.
Oh, that's right, a hashtag.
Is that the thing on Twitter? Hashtag Monday motivation?
It's the second.
Is that what the idiots are trending about today? Is this something
second biggest trend in the U.S. now, but behind Truth Has a Voice.
Well, we have a real radio show where we don't follow trending Twitter topics. So, we have our headlines. But before we get to our headlines, I wanted to bring in Chief Meteorologist Kirk Mellish. Kirk, are you there?
I am. How are you doing?
I am doing well, sir. We're very excited. Jared is very motivated because it's Monday. And I wanted to bring you in because I'm a little confused this morning. My son was supposed to go back
to
college.
What's unusual about that?
Well, I'm confused about the weather this morning.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I thought it was just your usual state.
No, usually I bring my psychiatrist in for the other stuff. But for this, I need you. My son's supposed to go back to college this morning. They called it off. It seems like all the schools are closed. And then I'm driving in, and I'm not feeling like this imminent threat. But where am I going wrong here? What is actually happening?
Well, probably in many ways. But in terms of the weather, we're looking at impassable roads right now. Being reported in northeast Alabama, and a 35-car pileup in Georgia in the northwest corner of the state.
Ouch.
Not expecting that kind of thing to be widespread around here because we are in a much drier air mass here thanks to what we call the wedge pattern. And so a lot of the precipitation is evaporating before it reaches the ground. We're watching it on the radar above Atlanta. But then as it falls out of the clouds, it turns into what we call Virga. Careful, not what you might be thinking. Virga. That's when it evaporates after it falls from the clouds. So it's kind of like right now the clouds are half pregnant.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
sort of pregnant.
Exactly.
kind of pregnant.
Kind of pregnant.
There you go. So basically all these schools closing and everything was just out of an abundance of caution.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really the path of least regret for all of us until we can see the temperatures safely stay above 32 degrees. Right now, looking at temperatures, most of the area is at or below 32 right now. I think the precipitation will really start being on the increase over the course of the next 2-3 hours, mostly in the form of drizzle, but expecting some of that to be freezing drizzle as well. We're not expecting a big ice storm, just some spotty ice accumulation, but of course, any amount on a sidewalk or road can certainly be hazardous.
I love that turn of phrase. It makes me want to get a band together just so that we can record and name our first album The Path of Least Regret. I absolutely love that turn of phrase. Well, Kirk Mellish, thank you very much for joining us out of the box. I just wanted to get some clarity on that, and you provided that. I appreciate it. And keep it tuned in right here on WSB all day long, and Kirk will keep you up to date. Thank you very much, Kirk Mellish.
Oh, you got it.
And now let's do this.
Headlines for Monday, January 8th.
You know what? Before you do the headlines, Jared.
Yes.
I want to defer to the great Dave Baker, guest doctrinaire this morning. And he somewhere found a countdown clock to the national championship game, and he won't shut up about it. So
I'm keeping it in my head, actually.
he's over there mumbling to himself. But he's actually following the seconds. So let's give him his due before we get our first headline. Dave Baker, just how long do we have until the kickoff of the national championship game?
11 hours, 3 minutes, 37 seconds. Back to you, Eric.
Thank you, Dave Baker. That's why we've got him here. What's the headlines?
Well, apparently there's going to be 10,000 cameras that will be watching downtown Atlanta for the upcoming game tonight. So that's going to be a lot of people. people watching you, Eric, while you're out there.
Well, you know, Dave Baker, it means he's got to curtail his use of the public. Just stay out of the park,
this is
Dave.
My chance for my 15 minutes of fame.
Yes. Just stay out of the park, Dave Baker. You can control yourself for one night, I think. So that's all over this area here. That's all over Centennial, but the whole city or you know?
Over downtown Atlanta, so this whole area that we're in.
Did you give any specifics?
I love these stories because it's not as if they put any of these cameras in yesterday, is it? I mean, these are cameras that are always there, right?
Yeah, you
would imagine. And I'm, you know, this is a talk radio station, so, and I'm a libertarian, so I should be outraged by this. Oh, no, wait a minute, it's the public. You don't have any right to privacy when you're in public. That's how it works, right? So I think it's good. We don't have any real imminent threats. I can tell you the security is everywhere. I mean, when we walked out of here on Friday, you knew. And I like that. It makes me feel comfortable. I mean,
some of them are awake.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the security. I'm talking about the cops.
Oh, all right.
We walked out about here the real security.
We walked out of here yesterday. There were snipers up on the roof of the World Congress Center.
Well, you got the president coming.
I'm assuming
to town.
They were snipers.
They got the president coming to town, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I think that this would be awesome. The top of the stadium is going to be closed, right? The roof will be
That's
closed.
Right. Yeah.
It's unfortunate because I think a great entrance for the president would be a helicopter coming right down into.
Was going to parachute in, but they won't let me.
Air Force 2, the sequel to Air Force 1.
Get off my plane.
Yeah, I guess these people don't know showmanship the way I know showmanship. So he's just going to – now, is that going to tie up traffic even more than what you were expecting? Or I got kind of a feeling that who's going to be driving that doesn't need to be driving? First of all, we've got all the schools out because of this whatever is supposed to be happening in the atmosphere. And I think most people are just going to avoid coming anywhere near the stadium.
Well, I heard the great Mark McKay and Doug Turnbull saying that he's expected to arrive 2 hours before game time up at Dobbins Air Force Base. And you got to assume there's going to be a motorcade coming into town right before the game.
And then we're going to have, well, there's going to be protesters, right? So you have to have an area for the protesters to, you know, I don't know, whatever they want to do.
Protest.
The hand gestures at the motorcade as it goes by is often something that they like to do. And it's America, and you want to do that, that's fine. So I think it's interesting. Don't you have Nick Saban? People are asking all these athletes what they think of the president coming to. And you know that all they want somebody to say something that is disparaging. They're just like trying to pull it out of people. You're dealing with players who are 18, 19, 20 years old. They're just doing everything they can. And so far, everyone's been pretty much buttoned down. It's not really a big deal, is it? Presidents go to big events. It's not it's not that unusual that a president would attend a large national event.
I have great respect for the office of the President of the United States.
Okay, Nick Saban, not a big fan of the man, obviously, because usually when you're a fan of the person, you don't talk about your respect for the office, but that's a fine answer. Stupid question, though. Stupid question. Do you think Nick Saban, how much time during the planning of this game tonight do you think Nick Saban, how much energy has he put into the idea that the president's going to be there? Zero. So if you're a sports reporter and you ask that question, you are a hack. You are just somebody who's trying to make something happen. Because if you're a sports reporter, you know that nobody on either team has given 2 seconds of thought to this. You're just trying to get, you know, something that maybe will go national or viral. It's not hard to find somebody. You know, not even just this president. It's just not hard to find somebody who doesn't like the president at any given time. And so far, so good. There's, you know, when did reporters just become trolls? That's really all they are. They're just people who just try to set you up so you say something that becomes fantastic for 24 hours or something along those lines.
Now, you hear somebody that has spent 2 seconds thinking about it. Do you think Kendrick Lamar is going to have a message for President Trump during the halftime special?
I can't imagine that he won't. I mean, he's on the record. He can't stand the president. He knows he's doing the halftime deal. He knows the president is watching. Although, the president could be going to the bathroom or getting a hot dog.
Kendrick Lamar, that's going to be outside.
No, but it's going to be shown in
one song
will be the halftime song, will be shown inside Mercedes-Benz.
Boring hip-hop artist Kendrick Lamar took a shot at me at halftime. Big deal.
You could be over with a hot dog tray, right? I mean, do you bring your own food out of fear of poisoning?
McDonald's.
Or do you feel
Once we land at Dobbins, there's a real good McDonald's at the top of Cobb Parkway.
There certainly is. That's a good one. One of my favorites.
It's my favorite in the South. We're going to get Chicken McNuggets and a Big Mac, and I'm going to put them in my briefcase, and then we're going to sit in the game. And I know they're not going to let me bring it in, but I'm the president.
Yeah, sure, they'll let you bring it in. You know, this new book that's out, I think, is hilarious. I don't think there's a whole lot that's truthful, but I think there are some truthful things in there. I think the things that don't matter are the things that are truthful, like the president not getting up until 11 o'clock and, like, tweeting and eating McDonald's in bed. I think those things are probably true and funny, but the important things probably aren't true. You know, this discussion, there's two discussions over the weekend that I found very interesting. Since we're on sports, the New England Patriots, that stupid story about how
oh, I know.
They're probably breaking up and there's no everything's bad, and they're 13-3 and on their way to maybe they're on their way to the Super Bowl, I believe, and we're supposed to believe that they're going to break up.
Yeah, because Bill Belichick has been holding back Tom Brady's ego for all these years, yeah. And finally, you know, the volcano has erupted.
Here's the thing about the New England Patriots. They've done what they've done through Spygate, Deflategate, and Aaron Hernandez being a serial murderer. I don't think this is going to break up their good thing. But the other story over the weekend that I found completely ridiculous was the idea that all of a sudden the president has some sort of mental problem and he shouldn't be there. And what's obvious there is that the economy's on fire and things are going well. And so you can't. Now, if you want to go after him, you have to just say, well, he's just got Alzheimer's or something, and we have to get him out of there for that reason. And if you, I mean, I'm very critical of the president, but if you don't want this guy to be president and you don't care that the economy's doing well right now or that things are going gangbusters, then you have to take the next step and say, well, it just doesn't matter who the president is. Because if this guy is as bad as they've been telling us he is the whole time, and the economy's on fire and things are actually looking up in the country, in order to sustain that point of view, you have to take the next step and say, it just doesn't matter who the president of the United States is. Things just kind of run themselves, right? If he doesn't deserve credit for this, you know, there are a million variables always in these situations. But I think it's hilarious now that we've forgotten about the Russian collusion. he's not anymore. The Me Too thing really doesn't seem to be applying to him all that much. So now it's just like, I don't know. People say he forgets names. So let's get him out of there by the 25th Amendment.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I used to call people Stretch.
Yeah, that's why you used to always have nicknames for people.
I got nicknames for people.
And then when you didn't know their name, you would just call them Stretch.
I got a nickname for the president.
What's your nickname for the president?
Dummy.
Still not a big fan, huh?
Not a fan at all.
Never Trumper.
He ain't Dummy.
Very good. Next story.
Yeah, did you see, too, what you were mentioning, that Michael Wolff book, and Steve Bannon apologized for what he said about the president's family, and that, which I don't know why it took him so long to apologize.
Why is he apologizing to keep his job? Because the people
at Breitbart,
the lunatics who run Breitbart, have now decided that he's a little too much of a lunatic for them, and he might have to go. So now he's groveling for his job. I warned everybody about this guy last year. I was completely right, and it's funny. Just watching his whole downfall for me is the most entertaining thing going on in this country. Besides the national championship game tonight, we'll be back at the Georgia World Congress Center Playoff Fan Central in just a moment.
Eric Von Hessler at 9. Herman Cain live at 11. New times every day on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now, thinking about what people are doing, of course I didn't watch the Golden Globes last night because, you know, these actors and actresses, I should have watched. Dave Baker and I were talking about this earlier, which is they never seem to get awarded or rewarded for the work they do, these actors and actresses.
Hollywood people need more recognition because they are. They just slide by under the radar.
They need more recognition. But I was watching coverage this morning when I woke up of these Golden Globes. I don't think anybody even mentioned television or film during this Golden Globes. It was all hashtag Me Too and self-righteous actors and actresses telling us how we should act.
This BBC article says it was dominated by one color, black.
Yeah, it's just the whole first of all, they all knew, okay? I'm not going to belabor this too much more, but Harvey Weinstein, they all knew. And last night we had speeches about how this can't go on. Now let's take all of these people and take them back to the late 90s. They were saying exactly the opposite thing about Bill Clinton. All men do this. You guys are making too much out of this. But now all of a sudden, once the hashtag trend changes, suddenly they're all on board. So self-righteous. Anyway, give me some. Who is this, Seth?
Yeah, Seth Meyers was the host of the
show. What a hilarious human being that guy is.
And, of course, he had to bring up politics.
Good evening, ladies and remaining gentlemen.
There you go. Did anybody... So Oprah Winfrey, I saw a little bit of her speech. I say that was the opening speech for her run for the presidency in 2020.
A new day is on the horizon. And when that new day finally dawns,
we will fight them on the beaches.
It will be because of a lot of magnificent women, many of whom are right here in this room tonight.
Oh, yeah, and some men.
And some pretty phenomenal men.
Pretty phenomenal men. Just a few of you guys.
Can I just say that with actors and actresses, you play dress up for a living. And some of you do it very, very well. But just because you're good at one thing doesn't mean you know anything about... There are plenty of great physicists who are dumber than a box of rocks when it comes to politics. Just because you know how to do one thing doesn't mean you know you should tell everybody else how to act. If I was a male actor, I would not have gone. But if you're a male actor there, you're just sitting there as just some kind of prop. All right, beat me up. I don't care. Whatever. Give me something to put on my shirt.
As a male actor, you're guilty until proven innocent.
First of all, it's wrong that I have to say male actor. When did actresses start calling themselves actors? Moving in on our ground, right?
Hashtag misogyny.
That's right. All right, we'll be back. Welcome back to Playoff Fan Central, the Georgia World Congress Center. What else are they calling this? What's the campus?
There are a lot of names. Championship Campus.
Championship Campus. So we're all, no matter where you are, you're somewhere on Championship Campus, right?
That's right.
So
I don't see Georgia Tech anywhere, so they're
Playoff Fan Central opens at 10, right?
That's right.
And all you get to ride all the rides and do all the doodads, right?
I really did want to bring a football for this field. I mean, this is
they will supply you with the football.
I love the idea that I really did want to bring one, but it's so hard to get a football these days. If you wanted to bring one, why don't you just bring one?
Well, I forgot my wallet today. That just shows you where my head was at. I was at the Chainsmokers last night in Centennial Park, so I had a lot of fun.
They dropped them all morning long.
He loved the Chainsmokers.
Yeah. They were great.
Is that Smokers with a Z?
No, it's Smokers with an S.
They're addicting.
Yes, they were.
Yes, Dave Baker said earlier that
10 hours, 36 minutes, 30 seconds.
There he is. He's on the countdown desk.
Like Rain Man.
Dave Baker, again, how long until we get to kick off?
10 hours, 36 minutes, 20 seconds.
We're going to keep going to Dave Baker for 2 hours that you know exactly how long it's going to be before we kick off.
We should have a pair of game tickets to give to somebody who on the contest line counts down every second till kickoff. and you can just pot him up at any time and he'll be going 10 hours, 36 minutes, 4 seconds.
5 hours, 46 minutes, 22 seconds.
Why did
8 hours, 4:17. Oh, I lost track.
Well, by the way, what's it going? What's it cost to get in now? There are some tickets available. It's like $1,400 a ticket.
I heard last night on the Georgia side, they're like $1,600. On the Bama side, they're only $1,500.
Does that make you feel like that there's going to be more of a Bama presence?
Well, I imagine you're sitting in the middle of their crowd, so.
Oh, you're not going to know that you're actually with people of your own kind.
Yeah, if you're a Tennessee fan, for instance, you think the season ended like 6 weeks ago. So.
That's right. So, by the way, Dave Baker, one
10
question.
Hours, 35 minutes, 28 seconds.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Let's go to some.
I'm on StubHub right now, and I see some for $1,435.
You know, I heard that not only is this game, if you're thinking about spending this money, I heard that not only is this game being televised, but it's actually going to be on the radio.
On our airwaves.
Yeah, so don't spend that $14. And by the way, I never watch it. To me, television is a dead medium. I always just listen to the radio. Of course, that's what you should do. I don't want to hear this nonsense about I sync up my television. No, turn off the television. I'm telling you, it is yesterday's medium. Radio is the future. If you go to the conferences, they'll tell you all of this. Radio is just getting bigger and bigger. My radio consultant guru here, Clive Cliverson, tell me all about it. Radio's dead. I mean, I'm sorry. Television.
Television's dead because everybody carries around. You got a little personal TV in your hand. The millennials are not watching television. So the best thing to do to reach the millennials is to put it on the radio. The other thing you could do is just wait till tomorrow and read it in the paper.
That's right. You know what I think about? I think of radio as television without pictures.
That's true.
I think that's exactly what we want more of. Who wants to watch the thing, for heaven's sakes? Listen.
That makes the newspaper radio without words.
Yes.
You know what? You nailed it, Dave Baker. Radio without words. And in fact, they might even delay printing the paper so they can get the score in.
My radio consultant, Clive Cliverson, whatever he tells me to do, I do it. He told me a long time ago, television is dead. Listen in. You know what you do tonight is you gather the family around the big old radio box, right? Maybe have some cookies and some milk.
Sit Indian style on the floor.
Hey, we don't say Indian style anymore. We say
crisscross applesauce.
Thank you. Crisscross applesauce. Be politically correct, of course. Now, and listen to the game. You know, you make up pictures in your mind. It's fantastic.
You still have the old console radio that's made out of wood and it's got the Bakelite knobs on it. That's the sweet spot.
Oh, that wonderful yellow light. It's so comforting.
Oh, yeah, the glow in the room.
What do you want, television? All television does is tell you what they're saying on Twitter.
So and you then, could... up after the, after the game, we're going to be doing an Amos and Andy marathon all night long.
Dave Baker, you ever notice that in sports television, they're always telling you what people are saying on Twitter? Boy, isn't that fascinating?
What really cracks me about that is they run that little scroll at the bottom.
Yeah.
And so often they're doing the story, but you can read it quicker, so they're scooping themselves.
Exactly. I like that they'll say something happened and LeBron tweeted, "Hey, man, you're looking good. Keep at it." Oh, that's fascinating. That's fascinating to me that LeBron tweeted that. More importantly.
At the real LeBron.
Not those fake LeBrons. Look out.
Well, the good thing today is everybody can gather around their radio starting at 2 o'clock right here on WSB. Mark Arum's going to lead off the tailgate show. And we'll go all the way through the game, which will probably won't get done until 1:30 in the morning.
You know, I rebel against a little bit. The term tailgate...
We call it crisscross applesauce show.
It used to be an actual thing. People would bring their trucks, they'd drop the tailgate, and you'd do something. Nobody does that anymore, and now it's one of those words that's morphed into pregame celebration. Everything is a tailgate, but you very rarely, especially in this place, because it's very, you know, everybody parks in garages and stuff around here.
Yeah, you get to wear black to protest the fact they call it a tailgate?
You know what? I'm going to wear black to protest everything for the rest of the year. I find everything about the year 2018 so far disgusting, and I will be wearing a black clothing and any pin that anybody sends me. I'm not even going to think about it. I'm just going to put any – it can be Me Too, Me Three.
You Too.
I'm Four. What was the pin last night? Time's Up?
Yeah.
I'm reading this article yesterday about how, it was just a few weeks ago we had time for the design of this pin. It was like a 1,000-word article about the people who designed the pin. And I look at the pin, it's the worst design. Like a first-year graphic design student would do a pin like this. And, you know, they can't not congratulate themselves. Stupid stories over there. Yes.
So did you see too? While we were in the break there, you were talking a lot about the Golden Globes last night, and CNN put out a push notification as you were saying it on the air about how Oprah looked very presidential last night.
I'm telling you, that was the opening presidential speech. That was for a run in 2020. You know, why not? Look, if you've got all the money that Oprah has, and the only thing you have to be okay with is, all right, as soon as I throw my hat in the ring, half the people in the country are going to hate me. And right now, Oprah is pretty much, people love her, and then people are kind of like, okay, but not many people hate Oprah. But the minute you throw your hat in the ring, half the country is going to hate you. So if mentally that doesn't bother you, why not? Why not? And it's funny, we were driving here, and I said, I think Oprah's going to run for president. And Tim Andrews said, she doesn't stand a chance. I'd like to remind you of what people were saying about Donald Trump when he threw his hat in the ring.
Well, I have to clarify that. If she were to pick Tim Kaine as her running mate.
Oh, they all the way.
Yeah, because that's what really pushed Hillary over the edge.
I'm looking for a Rock Oprah ticket. And I don't know who's on top and who's the running mate, but that's be a pretty forceful ticket.
The Rock.
You think The Rock's at the top? Oh, he makes more money.
No, he'd be.
Vice president? Oh boy. You know, Miss Dave Baker. They told me, I said, I want to make Dave Baker a guest doctrinaire.
Yeah.
And people warned me. They said, do you want to keep your job? Because this guy, you know, he flies on.
Well, luckily,
I'll lead you right into TV, buddy.
Hey, Dave Baker, you have one job here, and that is to tell me how long we have until the kickoff of the national championship game.
10:29 and 41 seconds.
It's only 10 hours, 29 minutes, and how many seconds now?
36.
I'll say 33.
Now.
Thank you, Mark. Don't say you don't get the information here at WSB.
So I've got more of that speech from Oprah last night, or more of Oprah's speech from last night.
For too long, women have not been heard or believed if they dared to speak their truth to the power of those men. But their time is up.
Yeah. Like Bill Clinton. No, not him. They all still hang out with the Clintons, right? they all still hang out with the Clintons. To me, it's like, because of her, they all still hang out with the Clintons.
I think it's not her women everywhere stand out to these horrible men who just abuse them, harass them, and get sexual favors from them. It's just not right. Hashtag me too.
You're part of the hashtag me too.
I am. I just think it's terrible that a man would use his position of power to go after a woman, a young, innocent woman who's very voluptuous with black hair. Wearing that sexy red beret that she was wearing.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. The same exact people who were telling everybody that they were. And by the way, I think I would have agreed with them back then. You know, I think that there was an overreaction to that.
There's no irony, Eric, in the fact that a woman almost became president. A woman who, by the way, only came into prominence by being married to the man who was president.
Like Meryl Streep. I'll bet you we could dig up Meryl Streep defending Bill Clinton from the late 90s. And
Dead?
Huh?
Oh, you said dig up Meryl Streep? I thought she passed away.
No. I meant dig up something from the 90s.
Same shot at winning.
If she was on the record about Bill Clinton, which for me, I don't care which way you fall, but it's hypocrisy. You know, these people knew the whole time. But we're talking about Oprah. So give me the one about your dreams. Whichever one that was about telling your truth.
A new day is.
No, I don't think it's that. It's not that one. It's the one you had before. Go ahead.
For too long, women have not been heard or believed if they dared to speak their truth to the power of those men.
There it is. Stop. Their truth. This concept of personal truth. You know what my personal truth is? 2 + 2 = 4. That's one of my personal truths. Are there people out there walking around? Well, to me, 2 + 2 = 5. And that's that's every bit as valid as your truth. You have your truth. I have my truth. That's chaos is what you have there. My truth is that it's not a blue sky. Yes, go ahead. Next story.
Okay, so we had two winning
Dave Baker. How many hours, minutes, and seconds do we have before the kickoff?
10 hours, 26 minutes, 54 seconds, Martin.
That's a man making his money right there.
You think Mellish works around the clock?
You would not stop.
I am full time for the next 10 hours, 26 minutes, and 44 seconds, Mark.
Mark. Next story.
All right, so we had two winning jackpots last night. We had the Powerball ticket. The winning Powerball ticket was sold in New Hampshire.
How much was that for?
And that was for $570 million.
Chump change to Dave Baker. You know how much money he makes on the home fix-it racket?
10 hours, 26 minutes, 23 seconds. Mark,
because he's good. Go ahead.
And a $450 million Mega Millions jackpot winner was pulled in Florida as well. So two people are going to be very, very wealthy, but they haven't come forward
yet. Almost $1 billion between the two.
Between the two, yes, it is.
And nobody's come forward yet. You want to know why that is?
Why?
Because I tell you, if you win one of these super duper jackpots, you got to get all your ducks in a row before your moron relatives. They're idiot.
You can't be anonymous when you go claim your ticket.
No,
either.
You can't be anonymous. So what you have to do is you got to have your exit strategy.
Right.
You leave that televised thing, and you get on a plane, and your family can't find you. Because we all have deadbeats in our family, and they'll be the first ones knocking at your door. So we'll hear from them in a few days when they have their family exit strategy all worked out. Hey, those drums tell me two things. One is there's a national championship game tonight, which will kick off when?
10 hours, 25 minutes, 28 seconds. Mark.
And the second is it's time to take a break. But fear not, we shall return.
27-yard try for Seibert to give Oklahoma the lead. There's the snap. The kick is blocked! The kick is blocked! It's no good!
The fan.
It's no good!
Oh, I think they're at stats.
It's no good.
Welcome back to Playoff Fan Central here at Georgia World Congress Center, where people are excited because there's a rumor going around that there's going to be a big game tonight.
Huh?
That's why I've brought in
roller derby.
My stats guy, Dave Baker, is here to tell you. So when does it kick off?
10 hours, 18 minutes, and 43 seconds.
Excellent. Let's get a little
Mark.
Thank you. Other headlines here.
Nobody
does it better than Dave Baker when it comes to counting down to kickoff.
That $450 million paycheck.
If there was an award at the Golden Globes last night for counting down to kickoff, it would have been Dave Baker. Have you noticed that since we're talking about Golden Globes, nobody's talked about who won or who lost.
Did they even give any away?
I think it was just a big protest. Anyways, go ahead.
White House advisor Stephen Miller was escorted off the set of CNN's State of the Union on Sunday after a contentious interview with Jake Tapper.
Escorted off?
He was escorted. Yeah. He wouldn't leave after it was over?
Yeah, he starts interrupting him in the end. I've got the audio here if you want to hear it.
I think I hear music. Am I hearing music here or inside? Okay.
Here.
Let me just say, this is stupid versus stupid, but go ahead.
To prove the point, I was booked to talk about the very issues I'm just describing, and you're not even asking about them because they're not interesting facts to you.
That's not true. I have plenty of questions on immigration. You've attempted to filibuster by talking about your flights.
No,
with the
president.
I want to ask you a question. Don't be condescending, Jake. Stephen, the president and the White House.
The president's experiences, what I've seen with him traveling to meet dozens of foreign leaders, with his incredible work.
Okay, you're not answering the questions.
No,
I understand.
You have 24 hours a day of anti-Semitic material,
you're
not going to give 3 minutes for the American people
to
hear the real experience of Donald Trump.
There's one viewer that you care about right now, and you're being obsequious,
you're being a factotum in order to please him, okay? No.
And I think I've wasted enough of my viewers' time. Thank you, Stephen. As Republicans lawmakers call for Attorney General Jeff Sessions to resign in a major reversal.
I say stupid versus stupid because Miller's right. But if you're going to accept the invitation to be on, then you got to answer the questions that are asked. If you don't like the questions that are asked, you just don't go there. On the other side, stupidity with Jake Tapper. Shut up and let him speak, and you got a nice big moment there where something happens. But they're so defensive; they don't know what to do. There are so many people who can't stand this guy. And then Wall Street's on fire. The GDP is on fire. We're basically at peace. There's no new shooting wars. So they don't really know what to do with this, and it started off as covering gossip, and that's all they have. I think it's hilarious that he had to be removed from the premises. I mean, I think that Stephen Miller might have a screw loose himself.
Yeah, CNN had no control over it because he wasn't alive. He was there in studio with Jake Tapper.
But is this the music from inside my headphones? Is this Dave Baker?
This 10 hours, 16 minutes, 15 seconds. 14,
we'll be 13, back with 12, hour two.
11.
There you go. 10,
9.
Eric Von Hessler on WSB.
Live from Playoff Fan Central, Georgia World Congress Center, hour two of the Von Hessler Doctrine begins now. I am the aforementioned Eric Von Hessler. The other voices you hear, except for guest doctrinaire Dave Baker, are your normal doctrinaires. And I'm very excited right now because we have on the phone somebody who I'm actually a fan of, Chris the Bear Felica. Chris, are you there?
I am. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I've been wanting to have you on the show. We did everything we could and finally got you on by phone. I'm a huge fan. Now, Chris is known as the Bear on ESPN's Game Day, and he's my favorite part of the show. I love the show, but he's my favorite part of the show, and I mean that. And this is why, Chris, before we talk, because you're a stats guy, and we're going to talk not only about this game but the college football in general this year going into the next season. But you know what I like about you, Chris? I feel like you're one of the very few people who didn't try to become a television personality. I think you were just so good at your job, you ended up on TV. Am I wrong or am I right?
No, you're right. I was actually very hesitant about doing it. For years, our former producer, Lee Fitting and Kirk Herbstreit, had been trying to say, you know what, we need to get you more involved. You're so animated and you have such good takes and you're a numbers guy. You can pick games. We need to find a way to incorporate that in the show. And I was like, I don't know. And then I guess it was 2013, I think, when the show finally expanded to 3 hours, they were like, nope, you're finally doing it. You have no choice. And that's when they decided to put the old GoPro cam in front of me and get me to interact with the guys in the set and give some opinions, give some picks. It's been a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll bet. You know, the thing with when somebody's as good at stats as you are, I mean, talking about a game that nobody else is even thinking of, like the 18th most popular game of the day, and you know all the stats. My question to you is, do you actually have a life outside of thinking about college football?
I do, and I'm looking forward to that life come tomorrow. That's when we think about vacation. We think about St. Thomas. We think about vacation to Spain and just kind of laying low and decompressing for a while. But it's funny. We were talking about that yesterday. And kidding aside, like for the next like week or 2 weeks, we'll be like, oh, thank gosh. This is so good to just relax and do nothing. And then like once the Super Bowl ends, I'll be sitting around and be like, what am I going to do now? Like, there's no football and all. Like, when's August going to get here?
So it's one thing or the other. Now, with this game tonight, what are your feelings? What do you see going in? What is all we care about is Georgia here. So just tell me what Georgia has to do to win.
I think he just has to go out and continue to do the things that they've been doing. I mean, Jake Fromm has been growing up before everybody's eyes all year long. He's a, I mean, it's one thing to have a natural talent to be able to play, but his ability, he so many times in the Rose Bowl, the line of scrimmage to get out of bad plays, get out of bad formations. He did that so many times, and if he can continue to do that against a much better defense tonight, they're going to have a great chance to win.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you said that, because I think that when Jake Fromm is referred to as a game manager, and look, he's a true freshman, and he's out there, and I guess that, yeah, that is, he is that, but I think that he's more than that. Now, he's not a superstar quarterback yet, but I think just to refer to him as a game manager doesn't give him the credit for what I've seen him do several times this year.
No, you're right. I think all year long, because of Chubb and Michelle, how dominant their running game has been and how good their defense has been, people have always, I don't think Georgia's kind of gotten their due in terms of being perceived as an elite team, because it was like, ah, you know what, let's see what happens when they face Auburn, when they face a playoff type team. What's going to happen on 3rd and 6 or 3rd and 7 when Fromm is going to have to make a throw to win the game, as opposed to just being more of a complementary part to their running game and their defense? And I think we saw in the Rose Bowl, he more than passed that test with flying colors. Even in the SEC championship game, he did as well. So I don't have any questions about his ability to not only match game and perform when the game is thrust on his shoulders.
Now, it might seem like, you hear this all the time, but I really think in this case it's really true. You have two very good teams, and the one team that plays, but this is my football expertise coming out here. The team that plays better, I'm telling you, that's going to be the team that wins. But what I mean by that is, when you're this good, you just gotta dot your I's and cross your T's, right? That's really what it comes down to.
And that's why you have Nick Saban and one of his number one protege, Kirby Smart, in the championship game. You have two programs that are all about the little things: preparation, off-season schedule, proven plan that works. And that's why they're in. Kirby hit on it the other day as well, and saying, you know, I don't think people understand what Alabama has done, and a lot of times they're just taken for granted, because I think they are. It's just, Alabama will be in every year. But you don't just hand them that. They had to win games to get here. They had to beat the defending national champion to get here, and even had to have a couple of breaks go their way to get in with a loss. So, I mean, it does it. It's not only about in-season. It's about what goes on between February and now December with recruiting and the start of the season as well.
Yeah, we take these kind of teams for granted. On the NFL side, I would say that's the New England Patriots. And like there was the story all weekend long, you know, are there fissures in the New England Patriots? Is this the beginning of the end? And all I'm looking at is they're 13-3. They have home field all the way through to the Super Bowl. And I'd love for my team to have problems like that.
being a lifelong miserable Jets fan, it's going to be a long time before I have to worry about that.
Yeah, I'm a lifelong Bills fan, so we're basically in the same bucket with that whole thing. But I want to ask you.
Yesterday, I'm sorry.
The best team won. that's how I console myself. There is fairness in the universe, I guess. So, what about this UCF thing? How do you feel about this idea that UCF, I think it's more of a promotional PR bit that they're doing, but the idea of declaring themselves national champions because they are the only undefeated team, what are your thoughts on that?
I almost feel bad, because it seems like, but everything that they did all year long, with just kind of the knowledge that, okay, Scott Frost is going to leave, they handled it perfectly. Now it's almost like, a little bit of a laughing stock, because you can't beat Tulane, Memphis, UConn, Mercy. If you want to have a parade and hang a banner that says, undefeated Peach Bowl champions, only undefeated team in the FBS in 2017, that's fine. But call yourself national champions and cost your athletic department hundreds of thousands of dollars, paying out this faux bonus to a staff that's leading, paying money to get rings that say national champion. It's a little silly in my mind. So congratulations on a great season. You're undefeated. Remarkable achievement. But your schedule and your body of work over the course of the season did not put you in the playoff, nor should it have. The committee got it right with these four teams, and I got a great season in UCF, but you're not a national champ.
Yeah, very quickly, I'm going to end. Are you making a prediction for tonight's game yet, or have you not? Are you holding it? No, I am.
I have. I've already done it on the Behind the Bets podcast and in the column as well, and on our little Sports Center streaming. I like Georgia to win. I think they get just enough offense. I think Blankenship has a big kick in the game, just like he did the Rose Bowl. I think their defense plays great. And then look, the Alabama offense really struggled against Clemson. Georgia's defense is on par with Clemson, and hurt in three playoff games, is throwing 220-yard passes, averaging just a little over 100 yards a game through the air. He's going to have to make plays for the first time in a playoff-type game through the air to win. I think he's going to have difficulty to do it, and I think Georgia gets the job done and wins the title today.
What do you think the score will be?
I said 24-21. I have a hard time thinking it's going to be a game where both teams are going to threaten 30 points just because of how good both defenses are and how well both staffs know each other.
You know, being here in town for this, maybe you've gotten a little bit of flavor for the idea that our Falcons are the forgotten championship team in the city. They played fantastic in Los Angeles over the weekend, and they had to. I know college football is your thing, but I also know pro football. What do you think? What do you think of the Falcons as a football team going forward?
I mean, last year what they did offensively was phenomenal. I think. They were almost in a position where you talk about Alabama being taken for granted and just they're going to be at that level. I mean, they put up historic level numbers on offense last year, and then they took a little step back last year, but they're still an above average offense with a great quarterback and a great running back and a great receiver. And maybe their defense hasn't been as good as it was last year, but now you're on the road against the Eagles. Obviously Wentz is out, and that's a depending on the weather and the elements, that is a very winnable game because clearly the Eagles are. I mean, Falcons are favorite in the game.
Yeah, and
they're not the same team.
I was pretty amazed by what the defense looked like in Los Angeles. I think that they were very stout. Now we got to run. Are you doing a special game day today, or what's the?
We'll have a show from 3 to 5 outside the stadium. Then we'll move on inside from 6 o'clock to kickoff. So it's going to be a long, great day. It'll be on. Sports Center programming throughout the day as well, so we'll be looking forward to a great day and a great game tonight.
Well, Chris, the Bear Felica from Game Day, I'm a true fan, and I appreciate you being on the show with us today, and have a great day.
Thank you. You do the same. Enjoy the game.
Are you a fan, Jared? Do you watch Game Day, or are you just hungover? I think Jared's just usually hungover at that time.
I love 10 o'clock on a Saturday. The Bear, the Baby, and the Bot. I love that show.
Oh, I didn't bring that up. Is that a show or just a little thing they do?
It's a bit they do on that show.
I've seen the commercials for it more than anything. Well, those drums tell me two things. I didn't call for it yet, Dave Baker.
You looked at me.
You're the countdown guy. How many hours, minutes, and seconds until the kickoff?
0 days, 9 hours, 54 minutes, 43 seconds, mark.
0 days. Oh, not Dave's. You said days.
Days.
We have Dave Baker as our countdown king. We'll be back.
Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling, 25-20. Got a block for Grubb. 50.
Touchdown.
Dogs win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Welcome back. Playoffs Fan Central, Georgia World Congress Center. That's where we are, the Von Hessler Doctrine. Jared Yamamoto, we have any? I hear that there's breaking news that only makes me look like a genius. By the way, didn't Trump say over the weekend that he's a very stable genius?
I'm a very stable genius. I'm the smartest man who's ever been president, including Woodrow Wilson.
And he was like the president of a college or something.
He was a genius, but he's dumber than I am.
Okay, so I was talking about that speech last night at Golden Globes. Not that I actually watched it. I saw it this morning by Oprah Winfrey. And I says to myself, I says, Eric, that is the opening speech of a 2020 campaign for president of the United States. Everyone scoffed at me an hour ago. But now, what does it say on the old transom?
Yeah, this is breaking
news. You know what a transom is?
I don't know what a transom is.
Nobody does. Go ahead.
This is breaking news from CNN. Oprah Winfrey is actively thinking about running for president in 2020, two close friends say.
Oh, well, you see, there you go.
Are you a close friend of Oprah? Is that what you have the inside track here.
Actually, I'm Stedman.
I golf with Stedman. And so I've known this for a while. And this guy Stedman. I said, hey, you know what? She's worth $90 billion or something, and she won't marry him.
Well, that means he's worth about half that then, isn't he?
I guess.
She's going to have to get married, though.
We haven't had an unmarried president since James.
Not an unmarried woman. Yeah.
No, we haven't had an unmarried woman for president yet, have we?
No.
No, because we haven't had. That's right. Oprah Winfrey, you know, could be something. Oprah versus now. There was another story where Tim Andrews said that The Rock has put out a statement saying that he is not going to run for president until 2024. So he's out of the way.
So you'll have to smell what Oprah's cooking.
He has film commitments. So. Is that what I'm smelling here? Is that what Oprah's cooking?
Yes.
Oh, it's a burrito.
Dave Baker, you are falling down on the job because you're supposed to tell us how long it's going to be before the kickoff to the national championship.
9 hours, 46 minutes, 18 seconds. Mark?
I hear Darius Rucker's going to join us in the next half hour. I'll believe it when I see it. Come on back.
Direct snap to Nick. He runs to the right. Tries to cut up. Bill. Touchdown! Touchdown!
Touchdown!
Touchdown!
Touchdown!
Jump!
Welcome back to Playoff Fan Central here at Georgia World Congress Center. Playoff Fan Central is open, and the people have come in and decided they're all having a fantastic time, as they should. Now, before we get to more headlines, and I hear Darius Rucker is going to join us, but he's running a little late, so we'll. Dave Baker says we're going to hear the music. I'm going to introduce him. He'll say hi, and we'll be done. But we are looking forward to that.
I want him to hold my hand.
Before
that's the Beatles.
Before we get to any of that sort of stuff or more headlines, what I would like to do is go back to Friday. So at the very end of the show on Friday, Jay Black said something that I thought, oh my goodness, we have to explore this. And of course, he's not here with us today, and we couldn't explore it the way that we wanted to explore it. But eHarmony came up as a topic.
Yeah, there was a headline about it saying that there was that they had scientific data to make the matchmaking happen.
And they were forced to remove that from their advertising.
Right, because it's fake.
They can't point to any scientific algorithm or anything. So, but as soon as we brought up eHarmony, Jay kind of just jumped right in. You know, we were going to do a story about eHarmony.
Yeah, they don't want to see Jay Black either.
What happened with you and eHarmony?
I lost a lot of money.
Now, we will explore this more on tomorrow's show. We're back in the studio. But Jay Black, exactly what happened? We don't have the real Jay Black, but we do have the... Oh, hold on. We have the real Jay Black. Jay Black.
Hello, man.
Hello, man. Yes, are you there?
I'm here. I'm driving to the stadium right now. Can you
hear? Wow, another 5 mile an hour going. Slow down, Jay.
Jay Black. Jay Black, exactly what you do not like eHarmony. Exactly what happened?
Well, yeah, because I sunk like $300 into it over a long time span. And all I got out of it was I have to go to the stadium at 10:30 for the national championship game.
You got no dates? What happened? How do you give them $300 and get no dates?
I got a couple, but they were all weird. So, like, weird enough where I buy them tickets to the Nutcracker, and then I never hear from them again, and they take my tickets and go by themselves.
What? Hold on.
And then they text me during the Liberty Bowl and say, I don't want to see you no more.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, now some of it is on you, Jay. Now, during the date, you have to make somebody want to see you after the Liberty Bowl. But a little bit of that is on you, right? But, I mean,
that was after she went by herself to the, I got sick. So then she went to the went to the Nutcracker because I couldn't go. And then I never heard from her again for 3 weeks. And then she said, I don't want to see you no more. And I was working at the time. So
all right.
At that point, I realized that eHarmony wasn't going to work out.
All right, Jay.
But I was already out of money. So.
It's their fault.
Jay, I'm not going to take any money from you, but I want to tell you, we got Dave Baker's losing his mind.
This is like a comedy, the no bang theory.
I feel like we're gonna set you up. We're gonna do it somehow in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to have some sort of contest. Date Jay Black.
Some sort of contest.
We're going to figure this out, Jay, because you're on the radio, and I just feel like your self-esteem needs some boosting. You're on the radio, man. When you're on the radio, you know, ladies like guys on the radio, right, Jared?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jared, look at Dave Baker, huh? My goodness.
Hey.
Ladies like it, right?
That's right.
I mean, ladies were flocking to Dave yesterday. So,
so Jay, if you're willing, in the next couple of weeks, I would like to figure out a way to get Jay Black a non-weird date. Does that sound all right?
Can we go to the Nutcracker?
This is fake Jay Black here. What do you want to do, fake Jay Black?
I want to go to the Nutcracker.
You can't go to the Nutcracker for another
How about Lion King?
11 months.
Through Atlanta Knights game.
If you'd like to go to the next thing that's at the Fox Theater, we will make that available. All right?
I promise I won't get sick.
Okay, real Jay Black, you go ahead and get yourself to the stadium. We're going to get you a date in the next couple of weeks. Sound good?
Let's first things first. Let's get a national championship, and then we'll worry about things.
Okay, look, I think that national championship's going to happen tonight, but you are going to have a date within, I will say, 14 days. We're going to get this done. All right?
All right.
Thank you. Hey, Jay Black.
Yeah.
Are you still there? The real Jay Black? Do you have predictions?
Here.
Do you have predictions for us for the game tonight? Do you have a prediction?
I'm taking the fifth on that one.
He's taking the fifth.
Well, you're not incriminated.
What, are you sick? You can't make it to the Nutcracker again? All right, what about the Falcons?
Yeah.
What about the Falcons?
Any thoughts? I think the Falcons have got a great shot to get the NFC Championship game. They have a terrific draw.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, real Jay Black, thank you for joining us. Fake Jay Black will stay with us here at the table.
Y'all stick around.
Thank you, Jay Black. Let's do this, I think.
More headlines for Monday, January 8th.
Hey, isn't this Elvis's birthday or something?
Yes,
January 8th?
And David Bowie's.
Wow, well, look at that.
And they're both dead.
Two great dead musicians. And that's how we start this one.
Hey, baby, you want to come back to my place and see my trophy collection?
It's fake Jay Black. We call him Fake Black, really, is the way to go. So let's hear some more stories.
All right.
This is the story you're giving? This is the top-of-the-line story?
I think this is hilarious here. A United passenger was so upset with their flight that they smeared their own feces in the plane's lavatories, and the plane ended up they had to take the 777 out of service because he defiled those lavatories so badly.
Well, again, why do we call them bathrooms everywhere else? Why is it when we lift off from the ground they become lavatories?
I don't know.
You're talking about bathrooms, of course.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. You started that off by saying he was so mad. My sense is that he was just mad, as in insane. Nobody smears feces all over the place unless they've got a mental problem.
Speak for yourself.
Like choo-choo-choo.
Let me tell you. Tim Andrews is what I'm talking about. He's not a stable human being. And so he would be the type of person that would. Have you done anything like this in your life, Tim Andrews?
Truth, yes.
I won't ask. I won't dig. I won't dig.
I have.
Okay. So
I was on Route 15 in Pennsylvania at a pay toilet. And I snuck under the bottom because I didn't have a quarter, and I got in there, did my business. When it was done, there was no toilet paper, so they had to pay.
So you made sure that because the guy who cleans that out, he obviously knows the CEO of the company and can do something about it.
I hope so.
You should have snuck into a better toilet.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the fact that the entitlement there. He snuck in, didn't even pay a quarter to get in or whatever it cost. So this guy was insane. You used to work for the airlines.
Flying from Chicago to Hong Kong, and you have to make a pit stop at Anchorage because it smelled so bad on that plane.
He was nuts.
Could you imagine that?
No, but I mean, you're acting like it's some kind of like some guy was angry about his the service on the plane. No, he was just nuts. You know, here's the problem. When I was a kid, when Dave Baker was a kid, I wasn't born yet. But when we were kids. When we were kids, remember when flying was like rich people did that?
Oh, it was a treat.
Yeah, it was
you had to dress up.
You had to dress up. Oh, my goodness, we're going to fly. Now these things are just, you know, they're flying Greyhound buses now. Anybody's in there. And so it's a lottery. Every once in a while, you're just going to get some crazy nut, one way of putting it. So, give me another story.
All right, Snoop Dogg.
I don't know what more to give you on that. I don't have some sort of like big political.
Well, I think it just proves your point why you don't like to fly, because that would disgust me. Like, I could not.
Would it disgust you?
Could not imagine being in a
plane.
Jared,
you're so different than most other people. You're saying you wouldn't enjoy walking into a feces
laden. I'd like to think of myself as a pretty understanding person, but you know, in this case,
let me tell you something.
The line.
Anytime the word feces gets into a story, I don't want to be there. I don't care about the actual. And look who raises his hand.
You know what
Dave
I got
Baker.
Out? What I got out of that whole story? Tim Andrews doesn't have a quarter and he's upset because there's no toilet paper. Yet he crawls in one of those bathrooms on the floor.
Yeah,
underneath
yeah.
Well, they
the
just
divider.
Mopped it.
They just brought.
Yeah, okay.
You know, the reason that they didn't have any toilet paper in there is because people weren't paying the 25 cents to get in.
Not my
you
problem.
You were the problem. Another story?
All right, Snoop Dogg.
Please?
Snoop Dogg has teamed up with the restaurant Jack in the Box for a $4.20 stoner combo meal.
Attorney General Sessions is going to be upset about that.
Now, see, this is why we need to outlaw marijuana being legal in these states. We can't have children being suckered into buying snack packs from a jazz artist.
Not a jazz artist. He's,
Snoop, you know, in the box.
Snoop in the box. Attorney General Sessions, he was telling me off air that the reason we have to go after this marijuana is because it's our daughters are lying down with the jazz musicians.
I've seen it. And I sampled all the different flavors.
What is your favorite flavor of marijuana?
According to the Leafly app, which I have here, the best strain is always going to be Northern Lights, but I particularly like the Purple Kush, and it should be outlawed.
It should be outlawed because you like it too much.
That's what happens, and I started listening to Miles Davis, and I can't have that.
Did you see the shot? Was it one of the games yesterday? Snoop Dogg?
Grandpa Snoop?
Yeah. What game was it that he was in the crowd? Oh, the Rams, because he was in Los Angeles. And, boy, that was the first time. I don't know if everybody was like, whoa, Snoop's getting a little old. That was the first time I looked at Snoop like, oh.
Yeah, and all that gray hair, and it's like, Grandpa Snoop?
Grandpa Snoop. How's his Joker's Wild doing?
You mean the game show? I didn't know.
He has a game show. He's the host of Joker's Wild.
Joker.
And it's all – boy, this guy has taken the whole 420 thing about as far as it can go. And so Jack in the Box, is that what it is, Jack in the Box?
Yeah.
Do we have Jacks in the Box here? See what I did there? Grammatically, I was correct. I didn't say do we have Jack in the Boxes. Do we have Jacks in the Box here in Atlanta?
Not in the Atlanta area, but it does sound like a good deal, though. The Merry Munchie Meal? I like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, this guy, he's usually rolling on ecstasy with his EDM love, but I guess the same choices will work out for you. What is in this $4.20? Stoner package.
You have a plethora of greasy items. This is how the article reads: chicken strips, two tacos, five churros, French fries, onion rings, and a small drink. And I'm assuming you mix and match.
And diapers.
They're going up against Taco Bell for the stoner vote, right?
They are.
That's the whole thing. Taco Bell has just landed the stoner vote. Taco Bell comes out with a new item. It seems like twice a day that there's news about, oh, now they have this.
Add a shell and some cheese and off you go.
Yeah, do they keep them all or do they sideline something? There should be 1,000 things on their menu.
They had that deep fried Captain Crunch that was delicious when they came out with their breakfast.
Good for you, too.
Yeah, I imagine.
Boy, that's, you know what those drums mean?
What?
We may not get Darius Rucker because we have to take a break now.
We're going to make our predictions, too.
We're going to make predictions and perhaps speak to the great Darius Rucker when we return.
Eric Von Hessler, entertaining, honest, independent thinker. New time every day, 9 to 11. And find the Von Hessler Doctrine Podcast Hour at evhdoctrine.com.
Into the corner to Sony. He catches it backwards. He gets inside the pylon. Left corner. Touchdown, Sony Michel.
All right, welcome back. This is our final segment. Von Hessler Doctrine from Playoff Fan Central here at Georgia World Congress Center. Before we go away, Dave Baker has joined us. Hey, thank you for doing Friday and Monday. I believe you were a great guest doctrinaire.
I loved it. Thank you for having me on.
And I hope you'll deal with us in the future.
Nine hours, 20 minutes, and 1 second.
What is that, until the kickoff of the national championship game?
Championship game. Now it's under 9 hours and 20 minutes. So
you have been such a great countdown man to the – what is it now? I can't stump this guy. What is it now?
9 hours, 19 minutes, and 44 seconds. Mark. I used to work with Casey Kasem.
Let's get predictions. Let's get some predictions. First of all, Jay Black wouldn't give us a prediction. What about Fake Black? Will you give us a prediction?
Fake Jay Black, I pick Alabama to win by 38 points.
No. I try to tell Jay Black, when it comes to games like this, just pick the team we want to win. If they lose, nobody's going to hold it against you. And even if you think the other team's going to win, just pick your team because nobody's going to hold it against you.
Well, I don't want to drink the dogs.
Okay, I got it. Yeah. Have you ever seen the Nutcracker, or was that your only opportunity?
Well, Let's just say no.
Dave Baker, you've been following this program for quite some time. Give me a prediction.
I'm going to say Georgia 27-15.
27-15. And Dave told me those are just two numbers he picked out of the air.
That's right. It's my hand size.
Jared Yamamoto follows these things. What is your prediction?
I think that the Bulldogs are going to put up a great fight. But I think that Alabama, the experience of Saban is going to prevail through. I'm pulling for the Dogs. I want the Dogs
You're
to win. My heart is in it.
To my advice.
24-21 Alabama.
My advice is pick Georgia anyway.
My heart wants Georgia.
Then just pick them.
All right, I'll pick
them. Then just pick them. Donald Trump, who do you think?
I think the Dogs are going to win this game bigly. And when it comes to winning, nobody does it like Georgia. I love Georgia. Go Dogs. Sick 'em. Woof woof.
There you go. I'm going to just go with Chris the Bear Felica earlier. Did he say 24-21 Georgia?
He did.
Sounds good to me. 24-21 Georgia. Jared Yamamoto, my understanding is that we're going to continue covering this event all day long. So what's the schedule?
That's right. Just gather around your radio box at 2
Get the whole family around the big old radio box.
At 2 o'clock, Mark Arum and crew are going to be here right where we're sitting now at the Fan Plaza.
Yeah, buddy.
I'll leave it moist for you, Mark.
and then the tailgate show will kick off at 4 o'clock, and we'll cover this all the way till the end right here on your home of the Dogs, WSB.
All right. Again, it's been fantastic. Thanks to everybody involved with the college football playoffs for having us here at Audio Avenue. Enjoy the game. I believe the good guys are going to win.
Our guys.
That's right. Who's going to win?
Our guys have got it.
There you go. Right here in Atlanta, Georgia.
My God, look at Bonnie Burst.
We will chat with you tomorrow morning at 9. But until then, get off my lawn.